The Tigers are going to win the Premiership in 2017. The Tigers at the home for the first time in 37 years.
Champion players, champion.
Good morning, Melbourne, and welcome to the Sports Desk on Sid 90.7 FM. Of course, you are joined here by Michael and Liam for your Monday morning's entertainment. Yes. Liam, good morning to you.
Good morning. Ben has disappeared.
Ben has disappeared off the face of the globe just for today.
Yes.
Thankfully, he will be back on Friday.
He'll be back Wednesday for me,
and Wednesday
yes.
as well. Yes, absolutely, yes. absolutely. Good weekend, this one.
Yes, the first week of the AFLW, the BBL finals were second place according to Channel 10 to I'm a Celebrity, to a pre-taped show, a pre-taped show, the cricket was second to.
Oh, I mean, how many times have Anthony Mundine played, Green? Like, so many times, you know?
They're
in a different environment now, obviously.
Their prime was back when the dinosaurs were alive. They're past their prime now.
No, well and truly.
I don't even reason why I watch the Amazon is to check out Josh Gibson's rig. Like, oh, boy.
Tell you what, I reckon Joshy Gibson's going to run out with it. He is looking in absolute prime form. He could come back. You think Tomic's going to come back and rejuvenate his career in Europe? Well, I tell you what, Joshy Gibson could rejuvenate his career practically anywhere on the globe right now. Mm.
You'll probably see him in Milan soon, you know.
he'll be walking around at AC Milan, just you know, doing his strut and just being as casual as he always is. But Liam, this is a big round of everything, really. I mean, it was the finish of the BBL and the WBBL with the Sixers and the Adelaide Strikers, respectively, going out champions of their respective competitions, which is absolutely outstanding for both clubs. I mean, the Sixers did it again in the Women's League, but as for the Men's League, first time the Adelaide Strikers have ever won the BBL, which is hard to believe considering a couple of seasons ago they were just so dominant.
Yeah. It wasn't like them. We were talking about the Scorchers, right? How they lost to Hobart before that?
Yeah, which is very unlike the Scorchers.
Yeah, talking about dominance, like we all expect them to go into the game against Hobart as the favourite. They've got it in the bag.
Particularly at the new Optus Stadium, you know, as well. They must have had some of those fish fingers before the game, you know. Yeah.
Well, the Scorchers just can't win at the Optus Stadium. They can't.
It's a curse. It seems to be a cursed little hooter around that stadium, but it's good. It's better than, you know, a team having an unbelievable dominance there. It just makes things a little bit more interesting for the future.
We'll start off with the men's and Adelaide, finishing first 2 years in a row, then choking both years. Got over the Renegades by a run. Absolute clinic.
That was incredible.
Yep, and then plays Hobart. Jake Weatherand.
Jakey Weatherald. Yeah. Weatherand, whatever his name is.
115 runs, you can't beat that, pretty much.
I got to say, Liam, he's had a very good season. Despite not putting away a ton until the very last game, I mean, he's obviously saved his best for last. But an incredible 115, only off 70 deliveries as well, which is just even more astonishing. Players like Travis Head and even Alex Carey were just able to take a back seat to his absolute batting masterclass
at
Adelaide Oval. And the entire Oval was just in absolute awe of him, you know. He had a little bit of aura, you know, shining off him. And, you know, we don't see that many centuries. Particularly in crunch matches, but he did break a number of records, including the highest score in a BBL knockout game and the third highest of all time in the BBL. So congratulations to him with a solid, you know, sixes in the final. I think eight went over the rope, which is just pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And a couple into the crowd as well.
Pretty much Hobart was never really in the chase.
Nah.
All out for 100 and... Oh, I've got 117 here, but it's 177.
They batted very valiantly. At times you thought, you know, Darcy Short could potentially, you know, be the match winner and take it away from him. Even George Bailey. Bit of a surprise, him coming in at number three, I thought. But he batted pretty well.
Mm. Also looking for the... Again, I don't like seeing this, but Peter Siddle playing for a team that's not Melbourne. It's wrong on so many levels. But he's 3 for 17.
Bill Laurie would be outraged. He'd be like, he's a Victorian, he's a hero, what's he doing in Adelaide?
Because it's very rare for a Victorian to get into the New South Wales Western Australian cricket team.
It is. It's very rare. But honestly, that's the only way a lot of Victorians can actually get a game is by going to a different state.
But he's 3 for 17, probably would have got a man of the match if it wasn't for the century.
That's right. Lucky to get one of those wickets. I thought the one against Ben McDermott was easily going down leg side, but no DRS in T20. So had to walk, unfortunately, McDermott. But Peter Siddle just kept the pressure on, and just an incredible amount of dot balls as well. I think he bowled something like 15 dot balls. And got short with his very final delivery of his 4-over spell. So 3 for 17, that's match winning in any ground.
Well, it's actually funny when we get to the women's a bit later, but because the woman of the match in the women's one got 3 for 17. So
how about that?
Yeah.
Reciprocal figures. That's just absolutely incredible. But it was the bowling effort that was probably most impressive for me. You know, to keep down the Hurricanes, who are a very batting heavy lineup, did very, very well. But
their bowling was bad. They weren't the same bowlers that defeated Perth.
No, completely different. I think Rogers definitely wasn't the same. And we talk about pivotal moments in finals, Liam, and we talk about a major drop catch. Now, Weatherald was absolutely flying at this stage, and Rogers got a nice little return catch to him, dropped it, and then went to go for the run out because Travis Head was, he probably would have made
it. He got a bit ahead of himself.
He got a little bit ahead of himself. And he probably would have made it, in all fairness, if he dived head first. but as it turns out, when Rogers threw the ball at the stumps, completely missed, and Joffre Archer was just watching the drop catch, had his hands on his head, ball went flying past him, managed to save it, but still 3 runs and 2 missed chances. Wow. It's a big moment.
Yeah, and Adelaide win their first championship. Fun fact, Renegades are the only team now to not play finals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the big dance. Yeah, they haven't quite got there.
Hobart's made it twice for 2 losses. Hobart, Stars, now Renegades are the 3 teams that has not yet lifted the trophy.
Wow. So they would want to get their act together in the next couple of years. Because I tell you what, the Adelaide Strikers, they've got some amazing depth. And even though Rashid Khan does go out to international commitments now, it's just incredible how they've just been able to find all these players like Colin Ingram, even Alex Carey wasn't really known before this tournament. And even Rashid Khan, the excitement package from Afghanistan, you know, he's done an absolutely outstanding job. And we will get to the international T20 later, but Billy Stanlake was bowling some absolute heat against the Kiwis. So even he, for the Strikers, was an absolutely outstanding find. And, gets another great season under his belt. So I think the Adelaide Strikers, I tell you what, they're looking like the team to beat going into next season.
Another team to beat is the Sydney Sixers for the women's.
Oh, wow. Weren't they outstanding?
Going back to back. And again, never in doubt. They went Perth 2 for all 20 overs, all out for 99.
That's a pretty dismal total.
With Sarah Coit. Best in grand efforts. We have 3 for 17.
There you go.
And pretty much, Alisa Healy came in, scored 41 off 32. Never in doubt. After 15 overs, 1 for 100. Done.
I tell you what, those Sixers openers with Elise Healy and Elise Perry, I think it's Elisa Healy and Elise Perry, but you've got a couple of similar sounding names there. They are just incredible, and they put on 36 runs in the first 5 overs, which really made the 64 runs from 10.1 overs very, very easy to catch. They pretty much just went off with an absolute bang for start, and it just made the task very, very difficult towards the end. But you know, for considering the Scorchers were for none for 23, to slump to 4 for 41, I mean that's a huge collapse.
Yep.
And to only make 50 more runs after that as well, they'd be pretty disappointed with that effort, because Perth do pride themselves on doing
winning
well.
Perth.
Exactly.
Like, your football team stinks, so, you know, you got to have some success.
I mean, we will get to that later, but,
yes.
The West does seem to be capitulating a little bit at the moment. But, you know, as for all those listeners out there, a little visual update. Liam is still wearing the Freo Dockers colours, so you got to stick by your team through thick and thin.
I've gone all in with Freo.
It's been a lot of pain, not a lot of gain, but you've stuck fit.
Like, I've heard about this Premiership Cup people keep talking about.
Yeah.
One day I'll understand what they're talking about.
It's a lustrous Premiership Cup.
Yeah,
it's not easy to get. It's definitely not easy to take all the way to the West, that's for sure.
We'll wrap up quick with the under-19s. Australia ended up losing by 8 wickets to India.
Oh,
Australia were all out for 216. India did easy in 38 overs, with 2 for 220. Majut Kala, just a lazy 101 not out of 102 balls.
Oh, yeah? Pretty good, he's, almost a run of ball.
Yeah, pretty much gave in the victory. And last night, Australia won with the DLS method.
They did, they did.
3 for 96, and New Zealand did score 9 for 117, but easy win for Australia.
But even still, 117, not a huge score. As I was saying before, big Billy Stanlake was huge. As huge as Stoinis?
Stoinis is a big lad.
You're over Stoinis, aren't you?
I love Stoinis.
Stoinis. I love how he just chews the gum. He's just got that kind of that arrogant look.
The swagger about him, yeah.
I love the swagger. He's a great addition to that squad.
The cricket season's pretty much done. We've got, I think, two pretty more 2020s, is. But...
Yep.
And then we head off to New Zealand.
Then we head off to New Zealand for the rest of that tri series. So,
yeah, so the cricket season's done and dusted for another year, pretty much.
Pretty much. It's all over. Of course, the next big challenge will be, of course, Australia over in South Africa. That's going to be a huge test. India did actually have some success against South Africa in the recent tests. So it will be interesting to see how Australia do play against them. And, of course, here on the Sports Desk, we'll keep you absolutely fully up to date with all the test match. And we'll just see how our man. And big Cam Bancroft goes as well. He's going to be under pressure, but he's a man from the West. He'll hang in there. We know that for sure. But, the end of a very triumphant, would say, 2020 season has came to a close.
Very
but it's been very entertaining. We have enjoyed it. A lot of drop catches in the first half, but good to see a lot of the players holding on besides big Tommy Rogers. We are the champions. We all are on a Monday morning. Welcome back to the Sports Desk on Sin 90.7 FM. Of course, you are here with Michael and Liam on your marvellous Monday morning.
It's a beautiful Monday.
It's beautiful.
It's Super Bowl Monday.
It's marvellous.
Super Bowl today.
Super Bowl today. I'm very, very excited. Of course, the Eagles up against the Patriots. And, of course, our big man, big Tommy Brady. I mean, what can't this man do at the age of 40? I mean, he'll play until 60, 70.
Yeah.
You know, he's not retiring anytime soon, you know. MVP. And potentially the opportunity to grab all of those honours in 1 year whilst holding up that Premiership Cup.
Doing a Dusty Martin like it.
Like he does, you know, absolutely. So he's going to be a lot of eyes on him during today and also a lot of eyes on the ads.
Yeah, so let's go back to Australia.
Let's return to Australia.
AFLW 2.0 started on Friday night.
Yes.
It was probably, in my personal opinion, an extremely, extremely disappointing game.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the
That's a very fair call.
It was really boring.
Yeah.
Especially in the second half, nothing happened.
Did you trek down to Icon Park, Liam?
No.
But you did watch it very closely, and you were snoring on the couch by all reports.
Yes.
By half time.
Oh, and I was kind of worried about how the season, maybe because we had such big expectations, because last season ended in such a high. I think two teams scored 70. The grand final was really good, and then this game started with a. The really interesting fact was, Jasmine Garner kicked the first goal of the season for the second year in a row, for Collingwood. Fun fact. Lock in. And also...
Someone would have won a deposit on their house, I think.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Also, but this, it doesn't sound like much, but this is the first time in the history of the AFLW that Darcy Vesco is not the leading goal kicker.
Wow. Now that is astounding. Mm. That is astounding.
Well, I just think because she was the whole season she was number one. No one touched her at all.
No one wanted
and
to
now,
touch her.
Now she didn't touch the ball.
I've got to say, one of the most impressive things I've seen with the season so far is that players are ready to go after the absolute champions of the game. Mm. You know, the out-and-out leaders of the games, the ones that, you know, are match-winning players, the ones that are practically untouchables, are starting to get attention paid to them. We're going to get to the Melbourne GWS game soon, but there was a big tagging effort in that game against one of the... game's leading players, Daisy Pierce. So it could be something that we do begin to see a little bit more because, you know, if it potentially restricts the opposition to quite a score, it's worked in the AFL and it probably will work in the AFLW, which has been encouraging. But I think, this first game, they only got 19,000, which is still a great number.
Well, a lot of people
were
outside because I did have an outside TV in that. So there's a couple thousand more outside.
And it was a pretty nice night, actually. It was quite a nice night
the
for the
ground was in good nick, though.
Ground's in very good nick. They didn't have those massive kind of, you know, temporary light towers like they used to. It's all looking very, very flashbang. But the big thing from this game, you know, 3-4-22 to 2-2-14. So, as you said, Liam, only five goals scored for the game.
No goals in the second half.
Yes. absolutely no goals Carlton in the
kicked
second
one
half.
Point in the second half, I'm pretty sure.
And I think the girls have really kind of been told and are priding themselves on, you know, higher scoring, more free-flowing games. And the standard probably wasn't there in the second half. The intensity dropped right off. But a couple of positives out of the game. There are positives, Liam, don't you worry. Brianna Davey was, you know, the inspirational leader.
That's like what Mark
Murphy is for Carlton in the men's. She was very, very good. Of course, the skipper racking up 16 possessions. She looked very, very good. New recruit for Carlton, Taylor Harris, also looked very, very impressive.
Clunked a few nice mara.
She looks very impressive up forward and may actually snag a few goals away from Darcy Vesio this year. So maybe that's one of the reasons why she isn't quite leading the goal kicking at the moment.
But Nicola Stevens was solid in defence as well. The Coleman Best and Fairest now new Carlton recruit.
Yes, she was very, very impressive as well. And they needed to be down in the back half there. But of course, all that defensive pressure, very Ross Lyon-like, I must say. But we should mention someone who was a first-round draft pick this season for the Magpies, Chloe Malloy. She was amazing. She starred in her debut game with 20 touches and looked like she was right at home, the youngster as well. So she'll just keep getting better and better for the Pies. Their efforts were trying to be quite attacking in that final term, but... Their efforts were stifled by a desperate Carlton defensive effort that secured the points at the end of the day. But one of the big talking points out of this game will be an incident that we saw against, I think it was Sarah Darcy.
She kicked one of the Hoskin twins, one of the two. They looked the same.
Yeah, I don't know if she was aiming for the right one, but... We assume that she was. It was a little bit malice. There was definitely malice involved, and this will definitely be looked at. Pretty much, she'd received the ball, kind of got tackled to the ground, and in an effort to try and alleviate some more pressure, let's say, she actually double-kicked, so used both her feet to kick Sarah Hoskin away. And
in a place where you don't want to get kicked.
Where you don't want to get kicked with a particular boot that you don't want to get kicked with. It will definitely get looked at. Definitely intent was there, so I'm going to say 3 to 4.
See, I'm going as far as saying that I don't think she's going to play again this season.
Well,
there's six more games.
Big call.
Maybe the fact she hasn't got suspended might be 6 down to 5, but I'm pretty sure... They should absolutely throw the book at her.
It was a deliberate
kick. I know we can go back to last season in the men with the Toby Green incident.
Yep, that's right.
And the argument with Toby Green was he had his foot out.
Yep.
To stop himself, to springboard off.
That's right.
Dalhouse's chest. Mm. Dalhouse went down, got him in the face. That happens in every game. Usually play on.
Yep.
But this was a deliberate kick.
Deliberate kick.
In a place that you shouldn't be kicked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was a guy, couldn't imagine how much painful that would be. I'm pretty sure she might be gone.
And we're just watching it now, and I actually think play was still going when she actually did kick Sarah Hoskin, and looking very, very sore indeed. And as I said, she originally had a smaller kick at her and then had a larger kick. So she actually kicked twice, a very small little jab and then a bigger one, went in for the jugular. So we don't want to see that in the game.
No.
It should definitely be stamped out. And if a season ban is what needs to be done here to try and mark this out, then that should be taken into consideration.
Yep. And that's what we want to see. As much as Friday night's game was disappointing, Saturday's game was absolutely beautiful. Melbourne versus GWS. Goal for goal.
Oh.
Intensity.
Three times the lead changed in the final quarter.
The last quarter was absolutely unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
Daisy Pierce stood up, especially in that last quarter.
Wow.
Solid in the fence. She's just an all-around superstar, Daisy Pierce.
She is, isn't she? Yeah, you can't hold her down. Despite the fact that she did get tagged for most of the game, she was quite...
she did what champions do.
I think she was only kept to about 6 touches at halftime, but pretty much as soon as that happened, she exploded in that final term. She had 13 of her 19 possessions after halftime, so absolutely right. Oh. She exploded after halftime. No one can really hold champions down, and she was absolutely outstanding. Also, must be mentioned, Rochelle Cranston as well.
Oh, Rocky.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah, Rocky Cranston.
Rocky Cranston. And you are a big fan of... You're jumping on the Rocky bandwagon.
Oh, like I said, I looked at her Instagram the other day, and she is a solid
did a bit of
unit.
Research?
She is a big unit, a scary unit.
Scary unit.
Oh, yeah.
So she's into her protein, she's into her heavy lifting. And
three snags in the second half, plus the winner.
Plus a few snags after the game as well, I'm assuming.
Plenty of protein,
absolutely. But she was outstanding. But after racking up 8 disposals, Demons midfielder Karen Paxman went off with a bit of a back injury, which was later diagnosed as spasm, so not as bad as what we originally thought, but hopefully she'll be back next week or maybe the week after. But Kranskin, once she did kick her second goal to start the final term and then slotted her final goal at the 15-minute mark, it looked like Melbourne were going to run away victors here. But yeah, only a 6-point win, so a very, very close game indeed. Must be said, GWS, considering they ran away with the wooden spoon, I don't know if you can run away with the wooden spoon, but I think no one was going to try and catch them for that. But considering they were the wooden spooners last season, and they managed to almost defeat, or upset, should I say, one of the leading Victorian sides from last season, that's a huge effort. Almost had the wood over Melbourne, indeed, because they did beat them last season. But 36-year-old Irish recruit Cora, I think it might be Stronston, was amongst the best players at GWS. The Irish recruits, you do like the Irish recruits,
Lee.
Being an Irishman yourself,
Yes.
Being an Irish immigrant yourself, so it's always good to see them play.
And I'm an Irish immigrant from Fitzroy.
I must say there was one stage in the game where I think she ran a little bit too far. She did a bit of a Lewis Jetta, but they're going to cut her a little bit slack in the first game, as long as they had a little bit of a word to her.
I was very pleased with. Alisa Eva, the former Magpie, now GWS,
yeah.
14 tackles.
If you don't mind. And that's a very high tackle count.
13 tackles, 14 disposals.
Very high tackle count for the AFLW,
that's
I must say.
That's very high tackle count.
In general? Wow.
I'm a big fan of my tackles, I believe, you know.
That's Lenny Hayes-like.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
She didn't do enough to make my best top three when we get to that later on.
We will get to that soon. The votes, of course, a big part of the sports desk, of course,
yes.
The inaugural AFL women's
Daisy
season
Pierce.
And just continue. Yes, she did. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to claim it on the show, but hopefully this season we will get the winner in.
Pretty much. Let's go down to the grand final rematch.
The grand final rematch. This was exciting.
A big game feel. It was a really good week. Two games had a big game feel pre-game.
Yep.
One had a big game feel during the game, and then you had the Freer Bulldogs game.
You did.
A Kenny Brennan feel the other game.
You're still a little bit. You're still stinging after that. That's all right.
2 years in a row, Kenny Brennan only played 2 games last season, and her first game she destroyed Freo. Played Freo again, destroyed Freo. That's probably her favorite pastime. I like long walks on the beach, you know, romantic dinners, and destroying Fremantle.
That's right. Long walks at the Indian Tea House down by I think it might be Scarborough Beach or near there. Anyway, that's where she likes to do her long walks by the beach. Moving on, this was a
Lions.
Big game before bounce. We had one of the best players, the most prestigious players in the game, Erin Phillips, ruled out before the first bounce after she strained her quad.
Might not be making up against Melbourne either.
She may not, which would be a huge out for Adelaide, considering when their best player goes out, they expose the rest of their side, and they were exposed on the weekend. Looked absolutely dominant from the outset, and after half-time, they absolutely notched up the intensity, sealing the victory 4-7-31 to 3-1-19. Despite only winning by a goal and, two goals in the end, they looked far more dominant than suggests.
Well, Adelaide only scored in the second quarter.
They did.
Which only down on that game was the fact that they only scored in the second quarter. The only credit I give to was their other captain, their forgotten captain, Chelsea Randall.
Ah, yes.
Kicked a goal, 18 touches.
She was very good.
She stood up like the captain that, you know, everyone kind of probably forgets she's the captain.
They do.
Siren, you got the... probably the best player in that, second best player in AFLW behind.
Well, I mean, she captains in, 3 or 4 other codes? So she can't captain them all, surely not.
Pretty much.
Surely not. But it was Brisbane forward, Sabrina Fedrick-Torb, who absolutely impressed me again. 7 contested marks out of her 10 marks, which is just
another,
a monstrous
talk about another
effort.
Big unit. She is another big unit.
She is a sizable unit. And I'll tell you what, she's always in the action. She's always so excited. She always gets around the girls. And it looked like the Brisbane Lions actually won the premiership last night. They were so ecstatic.
There was probably a lot going on in that game. As much as I'm not a big fan of them saying, you know, if you lose the grand final, then you beat the team. It's, they've got redemption
Yeah.
because they're two completely different things. It was a big win for the Lions.
I mean, considering they lost the very first AFLW Grand Final, we really don't know as outsiders how much that means to them. And
it would have
absolutely stung. And to lose at home as well, or a second home, let's put it that way. It was an absolutely outstanding effort from him. And this is gonna trouble me a little bit here, but if surname, the German, Jess Worcestershire, I'm going to say, we're going to go with that.
I was able to pronounce it before.
Worcestershire. Yeah. She booted two goals in the third term to put the visitors in front, and winning all in all by 12 points the final siren. So well done to Brisbane beating Adelaide at home and returning the favour.
For a team that no one picked as a premiership favourite, they've lost one game in the entire history of the AFLW.
It's not a bad effort. It's not a bad effort.
The Brisbane Lions, it's going to be funny to say, but the Brisbane Lions aren't used to losing.
They certainly aren't.
In the women's, not the men's, of course.
And let me tell you, they wouldn't want the statistic at the end of this season to be the only two games they've ever lost have been in grand finals. Yeah. So let's hope they can resurrect that statistic at the end of the year. But let's move to the final game of the round. And Liam, I'm sure you're very optimistic to talk about this. You've got this, don't you?
So in the last game of the round at the Wynn Oval, the Western Bulldogs came out victors 7-7-4. 49 against the Fremantle Stinkers, 3-5-23.
Yes, when you do put out the anchor, boy, do you sink. And the Dockers haven't had a lot to cheer about of late. And
of the last 23 years.
Last 23 years, you've been counting every single one of those. but look, they were competitive in that third quarter. They did make a bit of a fight
back. They were competitive
back
in the second half. Even though the Doggies did outscore them in the last quarter, 2-0. They were in the game pretty much up until the final assignment in the second half, but it was the first half that was appalling. They were nowhere to be seen. Katie Brennan did laps.
She was just teasing him at the end of the day, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah, she kicked three goals. Ali Blackburn as well, sensational. Only 22. 23. Only, 23. She's only 23 years old. She's going to be an absolute superstar of the competition, Ali Blackburn is.
Wow.
Easy got out. Katie Brennan pretty much started off kicking the first two goals of the game and then kicked the first goal of the second quarter in like the first minute.
Unbelievable.
Unstoppable. Let's go down to the ladder. The Doggies now sitting first.
Gee, we previewed that game pretty quickly, didn't we? So the Doggies sit first. Who sits last, Layman?
We'll get that.
All right.
Apologise to the other team. Brisbane sits second, Carlton third, Melbourne fourth. Then you've got the Giants, Collingwood, Adelaide, and that's it for the ladder.
And that's it for the ladder, wow. Yeah. We might have missed a team there.
Oh, yeah, you got the Dockers finishing last.
Sunk right to the bottom straight away. Percentage of 46.9, so look, not the worst. But yes, it was a great first round, and of course next week we will be previewing some of the big games there. I'm really looking forward to Melbourne and Adelaide and both Brisbane Lions and the Western Bulldogs. Four of the informed sides.
There's two big games I'm looking forward to. One, not just because of the Perth Stadium, but it's going to be pretty much the season. You got the Doggies in Brisbane. You win the game, you're two wins up.
You are.
And you look at last year, Adelaide lost two games, Brisbane didn't lose a game.
Yep.
And the Frio-Collingwood game, you lose this one, your season's over.
I completely agree with that. And Fremantle being at their home ground for the very first time, they're going to want to win that.
In front of nearly 40, 50,000 people.
Exactly. And the $2 entry, as we said, is absolutely booming.
Before we go
up
to a song and before we do our vote, this is a stat compared to last season. So round one last season, it was 28 goals, 40 points, 208, compared to this year, 35 goals, 32 points, 242.
I like this. That's great. Let's effort keep by our statistician, man. Liam, you're always on fire if you're statistician.
Oh, I love my stats. I love my stats.
But even the comparison of 35 goals kicked in four matches compared to 28 in round one is already looking so much more promising as well. And, it's already looking like a more high-scoring season, particularly the 13 goals kicked in the GWS and Melbourne game. So a lot to look forward to, a lot of excitement. Mm. And we will be waiting with tenterhooks to see whether Sarah Darcy does get suspended for that, as we expect she does. It is a pleasure to be back in the studios, of course. I am Michael, I'm here with Liam, and we are absolutely excited about this big day of sport, and it just gets bigger over in the United States of America.
Before I do that, let's go to AFLW votes.
We will, of course. This is one of the biggest parts.
You are too excited.
I just want to get to the States. I just want to talk about the Super Bowl. Look, very, very important that we do our votes, because the votes are one of the biggest parts about the sports desk on Monday mornings, of course.
AFLW Player of the Year Award.
For all of our local and loyal listeners from last season, we had major coverage over the AFLW in its inaugural season. We had a very, very close voting system, which went right down to the wire. And Daisy Pierce, of course, was the inaugural champion of the... Have we actually got a title for our award system?
I just said the AFLW Player of the Year.
Player of the Year? That's right, the AFL Sim...
Sorry, the AFLW, Sim Player of the Year.
Yeah, Sim Player of the Year. So we absolutely love it here on the show. We're going to start with Collingwood versus Carlton.
No,
we're not.
No.
What's going on here?
The votes are just 3-2-1.
Oh, 3-2-1?
Off the entire round.
Of the entire round?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
That's what we did last season.
We did?
Yes.
God damn, I went for every single game, and I gave the separate votes.
Do you mean my votes while you...
Do your votes while I'll sum it up. Jeez.
Yes, it's not the Brownlow over here.
Oh, God.
I've got my first vote to Katie Brennan.
Yeah,
she would have definitely got three, but she dropped off, especially in the third quarter. Apart from that, she was sensational. Second is my two votes go to Daisy Pierce from Melbourne.
Yep.
She stood up pretty much all game, even though she got tagged, got the 19 touches. Absolutely sensational. You know, she's probably by far the best player in the AFLW.
Absolutely.
And the third goes to one of probably the future best player in the AFLW, Ellie Blackburn from the Western Bulldogs.
Ah, very good, very good.
She has captained more games for the Doggies than the actual captain Katie Brennan has, taking over. Only 23 years age, so she's probably... You think she'll be the next captain of the club.
You would think so.
But, you know, 23 touches, 1 goal, 2, 7 marks, 20 kicks. She can't be beat.
Not the worst resume in the world, is it?
No.
Nah, she's just going to keep getting better. Alrighty, well, I've summed up my votes. So I'm going to give one vote to Chloe Malloy. She was absolutely outstanding in the first game of the season, leading from the front for the Pies, where not a lot of their other players really stood up. She was outstanding.
She's probably a close fourth.
She was a I'm sure she was, Liam. So first round draft pick, 20 disposals on the night. As I said, you've got to start the season off on a high, and I think, you know, as far as the standard is concerned, she's going to be the benchmark for the Pies, and she'll just keep getting better. I'm sure she got a big rap from Eddie Maguire as well from the end of the game. Could be possibly a millionaire by the end of the year. Who knows? So our second placed player for me, I couldn't really go past Ellie Blackburn. She was absolutely outstanding.
Who's
23 disposals, 1 goal. She was great. And look, my player of the round, look,
wow.
I absolutely love...
Controversy here on the sports desk.
Yeah, there is. Look, it's definitely not Erin Phillips, that's for sure. It's incredible. She doesn't get a feature in the votes. And also our winning player of last season doesn't get a feature in the votes either.
Oh,
just because her first half, she was kept very, very nicely to only 6 disposals
here
by Britt Tully, which I got to give a shout out to Britt, because she did an absolutely brilliant job on it, and she got 13 disposals herself and 11 tackles, but she doesn't feature in the votes.
Wow.
And either does Daisy. Little bit of controversy. I know she had a great second half and almost won the game off her own boot for Melbourne, but I'm giving the three votes to an absolute beast, Sabrina Frederick-Traub. I can't underestimate or overestimate this player enough. She is just brilliant. Someone who takes 10 marks and 7 contested for the game and just looks like she's always a lively forward. In all fairness, Brisbane did kick a lot to her, so they do rely on her a lot. They're going to have to spread that load a little bit more to Emma Zilke, who was still very Zilke smooth in her efforts, but I've got to give Sabrina Frederick-Traub the free votes.
Ooh,
but also a little bit of a favoured mention to Leah Kasler, who only kept the big Tex Perkins, who was huge in the grand final,
to only one touch
the entire game. So she was huge out of defence and really great for rebounds. But I've got to give Sabrina the three because, as I said, you can't underestimate or overestimate the big players, and she's always a big performer.
I probably would have put in my vote if she kicked the goal.
Okay.
She kicked three points. You can be a forward and take as many marks as you like, but your job as a forward is to kick a goal.
That's fair enough. But
and
setting up a bit of play as well.
That's
so
why she
I'm
didn't
give
feature at all in my votes.
So a little bit of controversy. That's what we like here on the show.
Yes.
And besides, we do want other players, you know, getting a couple more features than Daisy Pierce and Aaron Phillips. You know,
well, Aaron Phillips
it is an
play.
Open season. So okay. She didn't play, yes. so she can only get her half a vote for that. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, they are the votes for the week. So and honestly, we've also got our Facebook page on Facebook, the Sports Desk, and if you feel like we have made a controversial call or we have missed anyone out, please hit in.
Let us know.
Honestly, I did votes for every single game, but that's all cool. That's good. But we did mention them before anyway.
On Sin 9.7, we have Liam and Michael, or Michael and Liam. Depends how you want to put it.
Who do you favour more?
Then Michael and Liam, then.
We both favour me a little bit more. Just a little bit more.
You have character charisma, I have...
You have a Fremantle Guernsey on. That's what you have.
Yeah. That's the best I have going for me. Let's start straight off with the NBA.
NBA.
I just want to get something off my chest. Well, first, Super Team make the All Stars again. Boo that.
We did cover this on Friday, yes. And we were just thinking how does a Slovenian get into a squad before an Australian? You know, there's a bit more favoritism over the Aussie, and I mean, you know, slightly less points than the Slovenian. However, a lot more assists and a lot more rebound 50s. So he did look a lot better, even though there's no rebound 50s in basketball.
He got one from the 50s.
Yeah, we're good.
He absolutely had a beautiful set shot.
God, imagine if they just kicked the ball far out. I've tried that. Doesn't feel too good on the feet, unfortunately.
Go to the Cavs. The one thing I want to talk about is the Cavs. And last night they got absolutely belted by the Rockets, 122-88. But that's not the issue. The Cavaliers are now 30-21, third in the East. But the East aren't a strong division compared to the West. But what happened after the game really got under my skin. The Cleveland fans booed the players walking off the field, which annoys me. Because if it wasn't for Mr. LeBron James coming back from Miami because he loves Cleveland and wants to bring Cleveland to the championship, they would be exactly where the Browns are now, the laughing stock of the league.
Correct.
Just you entitled fans, you selfish people who think you are owed everything in your life because of one player came because he loves Cleveland.
Loves the Cavs.
And he gave you three playoff appearances, one championship. And you have the audacity to boo the man. Yes, granted, he's probably going to leave. And if I was him, I would already be gone.
Yep.
You guys deserve to finish last next season. Mm-hmm. You selfish fans. Most of you are probably bandwagoners anyway. You probably don't even know any other player apart from LeBron James. But because you sooks didn't get your bloody way, you cry like little babies. I hope Cleveland does not win another game for the rest of the season now.
So do I, Liam. Excellent rant by you, as always.
Oh, got under my skin.
We should almost have a segment, just a standalone segment called Liam's Rants. I'm liking it.
I've actually got a podcast dedicated to my rants, yeah.
There you go. Nice little plug in there. Look, it is disappointing. Whenever fans boo, I'm completely against booing in sport. Even when a player does do something pretty malice on the field, I do understand there maybe are grounds to start booing in that circumstance, particularly if the player's been pretty badly hurt. But, you know, you've got an absolute champion on your side, LeBron James, one of the best players to ever play the game of basketball. And, you know, all players go in a bit of a form slump. And even when there are players, even in the AFL, if we even bring it home to the AFL, even when there's a player such as Paddy Dangerfield who may go through a bit of a form slump, he it may be common knowledge that he is leaving the Adelaide Crows.
A Dangerfield form slump, what is that? 30 touches a game, 3 goals.
I don't think they ever booed him. I don't think the Adelaide Crows fans and Adelaide Crows fans are pretty. You know, are pretty feral.
They did boo him at the start of his first game. They did boo him at the start, and towards the end they cheated him.
They cheered him. There you go. But it's just so distasteful.
That come back, you know, it's kind of wow, you left, boo you. But you don't boo the greatest player of probably our generation and the team he played for. I doubt they were actually booing him.
No.
And he gave you success.
But I mean, if the Cav fans want him to stay, they're not doing any favours by booing him. I can tell you, he would be feeling quite hurt after that game. He would have probably been wiping those tears away with a lot of $100 bills, but it doesn't matter. The fact is, he would have been pretty hurt after that
game. He's probably looking at his two trophies he got from Miami thinking, oh, the better times.
But let's not take anything away from the Rockets. They were very, very good, winning 120-98. But yeah, as we said, the state of basketball in Cleveland right now isn't looking too great.
They should all have a nice, hard look at themselves in the mirror.
They should. They should. It's looking a little bit dismal, but
let's jump back.
I think the trade table is looking the most likely option for the Cavs here.
Let's jump back to Australia quickly, talk about the A-League. Sydney FC, that's it. So next spot. No, but Sydney FC again. They're just too good. They've lost two games in the last two seasons.
They are.
Sitting well and pretty on top of the ladder. I've heard that they're not going to do the grand final. They're just going to give them the trophy, I think, starting next week.
Yeah, I remember when Collingwood were at their absolute height in 2010. I'm pretty sure on before the game, an absolute prestigious show, I think they actually just gave the Premiership Cup to them midway through the season. They just said, look, you're too good. You're probably not going to lose the grand final. Look, you may draw the first one, but you'll win the second one. We may as well just give it to you now.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Would have saved St Kilda the pain if they did. But yeah, Wellington Phoenix couldn't score a single goal, and Sydney FC were way too good on the weekend, 4-0. So they just keep doing it with ease. And yesterday, Melbourne City got up against the Brisbane Roar 2-1 in Brisbane, so that would give them a lot of confidence. And the Western Sydney Wanderers up against the Central Coast Mariners 2-1. And then on Saturday, Adelaide United defeated Perth
Glory. Not a good week for Perth.
Not a good week for Perth.
Fear of us, the Wildcats lost yesterday.
What's going on, mate? They've got to get you over there. They've got to get you on a plane over to Perth and get you to fix a few things. The morale needs boosting,
yes.
You've got a lot of fire in your belly today. That rant was absolutely inspirational. I'm sure all of our listeners out there can attest. You need to get over there. You need to do something.
The Wildcats lost to Adelaide 36ers last on NBL. The Perth Wild, well, I said Perth Wildcats. Frio didn't show up, only showed up for a quarter against the Doggies.
And I mean,
Perth Glory lost.
And I mean, that's not the only state that is struggling at the moment, of course. In the Davis Cup, Australia
are gone.
Gone. Gone. They didn't even end up playing the last game with the Demon, as we're calling him, or Demure, as a lot of people remember him. Little Leighton couldn't get the job done, but it was Nick Kyrgios who was quite disappointing in three sets. Was really, really dismal against world number five, Alexander Zverev, did it quite easy in the end. And Nick Kyrgios, after a really great Australian Open tournament, looked like the absolute air was out of his lungs, and throwing his racket on the ground, just showing his absolute frustration. A lot of medical timeouts as well for Nick Kyrgios during the match. A lot of elbow injuries, so not good for him. And of course, in the doubles, Australia didn't do too well either. But on Friday, Demenoir, he did a lot better. He did a lot better. He didn't win against Alex Zverev, but he did play a five-setter. So that's got to give him a little bit of confidence.
But after making the semi-finals last year, going down to Berlin, I think, not Berlin, Belgium.
Yep.
Very disappointed to get knocked down in the first round this year.
Exactly. Usually Australia pride themselves coming around to the Davis Cup and
Australia prides themselves in sport. We've got to win in sport, no question about it. Last one, let's go back to America.
Back to America.
Yeah, back on our plane. Don't know why we didn't do double America, double Australia, but
I know. I'm feeling a little bit jet-lagged,
to be honest. Our producer's not here. We're all over the place.
I've lost my boarding pass. Yeah. It's gone.
Yes. Super Bowl.
No, the Super Bowl. It's going to be huge.
It's going to be absolutely amazing.
Amazing.
Can't wait to watch the TV, to watch all the commercials.
The commercials.
Or the halftime show. So who do you got? You got the New England Patriots versus the Philadelphia Eagles.
God damn, man, I'm just looking forward to Justin Timberlake at the halftime show, to be honest with you.
Oh, he's bringing Sexy back.
He's going to bring Sexy back. He's going to have his bucks. You know, he'll be good. He'll be ready to go. Don't you worry about that. It's going to be a good game anyway. And who are you tipping for this one? We've got the...
I would like to see the Eagles win, but realistically, the Patriots got it in the bag.
The Patriots, I think, have got it in the bag. They just had an absolutely
outstanding
season.
They showed last season. They gave it down 31-3 in halfway through the last, and halfway through the third.
Oh, I couldn't believe that.
And easily win, so...
But I tell you what, I'm going to give the Eagles a little bit of a sniff here. I'm going to give them just a little bit of a sniff. I think against the odds, I think they're going to do pretty well. They're going to be down a little bit at the start, but I reckon they're going to get back into it.
Well,
but,
the Patriots were lucky to defeat Jacksonville. Really,
they were
right in the last minute.
They were.
Where the Eagles easily got over Minnesota. So
they've just got to find a way to stop the great, great man Tom Brady. And if they can do that, I feel like it might be the Eagles' day.
Like, if anyone from the Philadelphia Eagles are listening, just if he's on the ground, actually step on his arm, you know.
Yep, you know.
Whoopsies,
he's a little bit more brittle now that he's 40, you know. He's a little bit more brittle.
Just if you step on his arm, if you hear something crack, you might be on your way. Like, no cheating tactics at all.
No cheating tactics at all. We definitely don't implore that in the game of NFL. But I tell you what, it will be an excellent clash. And, of course, the Super Bowl, as you were just saying before we went back on air, 4 hours.
Yeah.
It's a very long haul, that's for sure. A lot of toilet
breaks. So let's get our Buffalo rings ready and we'll be sweet.
It'll be nice and easy, I reckon.
So who do you have? I've got the Patriots. I've got the Patriots probably by 10 plus.
I'm going to be a little bit crazy here. I'm going to go the Eagles in a pretty close one by 3, I'm going to say.
That was... You're just for the controversy today.
I love the controversy. I'm all over it. And I had to do it in the votes as well.
Yes.
Anyway, Liam, it has been an absolute pleasure today.
Thank you again.
And this is going to be an absolutely outstanding week of sport. Of course, join you on Wednesday as well. You'll be back.
Me and Caleb and Ben, yes. Much more serious taking
much
sport.
Much more serious.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And then got you and...
Me and Neve on Friday mornings, along with Ben as well. So that's going to be very, very exciting as well. And we'll be previewing all of the big games on the weekend as well. So it's been an absolute pleasure as always, Liam.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
This is Sports Desk on Sin 90.7.